Something new is coming to the Diocese of Harrisburg. Because our journey to Christ as a family of faith is too important to leave to chance. Hi, I'm Melissa Molesky, Director for Laity and Family for the Diocese of Harrisburg. And I'd like to invite you to join us on October 18th for Behold, a conference for the family of God. Behold is the first intergenerational event where every member of our diocesan community, whether you are 8 or 80, single or married, new to faith, or deeply rooted in our Catholic tradition, will be engaged, challenged, and equipped together. This isn't just another conference. It's an opportunity to bring families, friends, and pew neighbors together intentionally, creating the connections we all need to thrive spiritually. Connections that last far beyond a single day. Nowhere else will you see grandparents and grandchildren be able to compare notes on what they learned about this year's theme of God's goodness. Nowhere else will you see parishioners meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Nowhere else will you see whole families engage in a formation experience that doesn't require a babysitter. Real formation, real witness, real connection happening across generations simultaneously. The question isn't whether you have time for this. It's whether you can afford to miss the opportunity to see your family and your friends group grow in faith together. Behold is more than a conference. It's a call to behold God's goodness in one another. And we cannot wait to welcome you. Join us for Behold, October 18th at Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Harrisburg. For more information, visit hbgdiocese.org/behold.
I always say I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not an independent, I'm Catholic. You know, we often hear that we should do unto others as we would do on, you know, have them do unto us. But isn't it also we should do unto others how Jesus would have done?
Hello and welcome. My name is Rachel, and you're listening to episode 184 of Candid Catholic Convos, a show about Catholicism that enriches your faith, answers your questions, and meets you wherever you're at on your faith journey. Today, we're chatting with the incomparable Eric Failing, the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, which is the public affairs arm of the Catholic Diocese in PA. But first, let's start with Scripture. Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. This verse is a powerful reminder to advocate for those who may not have a voice or may be marginalized in society. From poverty and inequality to human trafficking and systemic racism, the call to speak up and ensure justice is more urgent than ever. It emphasizes the importance of using our own voices and privileges to stand up for those who are oppressed, disadvantaged, or vulnerable, and calls us to a higher standard of moral and social responsibility, a proactive faith that seeks justice and compassion. It challenges us to reflect on how we can use our positions to amplify the voices of the marginalized, to move beyond passive concern to active engagement, using our voices and resources to bring about change. Our voice is a gift from God that allows us to speak out for justice, to ask leaders to do the right thing on behalf of the poor and the needy. But I'm just one person. What can I do, you say? And look, I know not all of us are able to start a shelter for the homeless or organize a food bank, but I'll bet you have 5 minutes to make a call or write an email to a government leader. You're on social media all day anyway. Why not post a comment to the social media pages of a corporation or influencer to share your concerns. And there are marches or rallies in support of a cause like the pro-life movement happening nearly every week that you could show up to. Think about the impact we can have when we advocate for those in need with simple, actionable steps. Now imagine if everyone did it. How easy it would be to work towards creating a more equitable world. We may not think our voices are powerful, but they are a gift from God. And when we speak out on behalf of the voiceless, we are one step closer to God's vision of a world where justice prevails. Building off that call to action in Scripture, this week's Saint Spotlight shines on a modern-day martyr and prophetic voice for justice, Saint Oscar Romero. Born in El Salvador in 1917, Oscar Romero was a quiet, bookish priest who many expected to stay out of controversy. But everything changed when he became Archbishop of San Salvador during a time of intense political unrest and growing violence. As poverty deepened and the oppression of the poor worsened, Romero's eyes were opened, especially after the assassination of his close friend, Father Rutilio Grande, for speaking out against injustice. From that moment on, Romero became a bold advocate for Catholic social teaching, fiercely defending human rights and calling out government corruption and violence, not from the sidelines, but from the pulpit, the radio, and his pastoral letters. He reminded the church and the world that to follow Christ means to stand with the poor, the oppressed, and the voiceless. On March 24, 1980, he was assassinated while celebrating Mass, martyred for preaching the gospel of justice and peace. Today, St. Oscar Romero remains a powerful witness to what it means to live out our faith with courage, compassion, and conviction. Inspired by St. Oscar Romero's bravery, let's move on to our marquee topic, saints and social justice. I'm excited to welcome back Eric Failing to our program. Eric is the executive director of the PA Catholic Conference, which is the public affairs arm of the Catholic Church that advocates and lobbies for Catholic education, faith and politics, healthcare, life and dignity, marriage and family, religious liberty, and social justice. Welcome back to Candid Catholic Convos.
Ah, thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's always a surprise when you invite me back.
How could I not? You're so much fun to have on the program.
Oh, too kind.
Today's topic is saints and social justice. So what does social justice mean, not just to you, but in the eyes of the church?
You know, I'm also a catechist. So I... back in my parish, I'm a catechist for our 7th and 8th graders. And, you know, we've been talking about the golden rule, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's really social justice, right? It's doing to others, not only, and this is the distinction I make sometimes with the kids. You know, we often hear that we should do unto others as we would do on, you know, have them do unto us. But isn't it also we should do unto others how Jesus would have done. Mm. So I think that's what social justice is to the church. It's how would Jesus have reacted? How would Jesus have treated all the people in all their different areas of life? Wherever they are in their faith formation, wherever they are in their journey, wherever they are in their triumphs or their struggles, how would Jesus treat those people? And I think that's what we're called upon as his followers to do.
It's like those old bracelets, the WWJD.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus
that's
do?
Right. It sounds like it's such a cliche, but it's so true, right? And it really informs, I think, or should inform our decision-making process. And, you know, today's tough. I mean, we've always been under attack, but I think we're under attack even more. I mean, there is evil in the world. You know, we're doing this podcast today. I don't know when it's going to air. Maybe I shouldn't date stamp it, but on the Feast of the Archangels, you know, the day for the Archangels. And I was doing my... morning prayers and praying the office this morning. When I noticed that, I was like, "Oh, how appropriate are we going to be talking about social justice issues in the world today on this day?" I mean, how often do we call upon Saint Michael for his protection right now? Because it's evil is afoot and it's out there, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly praying for help and guidance and protection.
Definitely need to defend us in battle.
Yep,
I feel like we're always at battle anymore. And like you said, with all those issues kind of vying for our attention. Mm-hmm. I guess in your role, in your day-to-day, how mm-hmm. do you kind of tackle that? How do you speak for those who can't speak for themselves?
You know, I think we go back to some of our leaders, some of the ones who have gone before us and set that example. We have so many saints to pull from, but St. Oscar Romero, you know, a Christian's authenticity is shown in difficult hours. My goodness, is this not a difficult hour that we find ourselves in now? And you know what? It's sad because I think today, more and more, people want to try to pigeonhole people under different titles. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Especially in my world, right, in politics. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? And I always push back, and I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I always say I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an independent. I'm Catholic. And that is what I hopefully does. I think it does influence the way I approach everything. Now, I say hopefully. I pray every morning that that's how I will approach everything during the day. And then at night, every single night, I apologize for those instances where I may have slipped and beg for forgiveness. And the next day I ask to approach it again from a Catholic standpoint. But that's Catholicism, right? As I tell my kids in class all the time, it's a lifestyle choice. And we're trying to live this lifestyle choice, reaching out to others as Christ would have reached out to them. Even the ones that we look at, and I'll be honest with you, there's, you know, we have in my parish, we do a meal for the less fortunate. And so many wonderful people that come in for that meal. And then you get a few that are just angry. Mm. You know, they don't like the food, or they want more of the food, or they're just something wrong. And usually, you know, and that's when I have to catch myself and go, they're not really angry with me. I don't really think they're angry about the food. They're just having a hard time. And that's when we have to stop as Catholics, take a deep breath, and try to meet them where they are. What, you know, how would Jesus have approached, you know, that situation? Because it's so easy to slip into the societal role of throw up the defenses and fight back, right? And that's not what we're called to do.
Yeah, we're called to, I guess, love everybody as Jesus.
Love everybody as Jesus did. You know, try to find that common ground. Try to figure out, you know, what's really going on here. What are you really upset about? Is there anything I can do to help out with it? Mm-hmm. Even if it's just to listen. Sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes I think people just feel alone, like nobody really cares. And I think Jesus always did.
Always. Yeah. Do you have any saints that speak to you? Not like hearing voices in your head kind of speaking to you, but that you kind of call on. Well, that you kind of call on when you're heading into work. Like, I know one of my favorite saints this year has been Saint Catherine of Siena, because sure. One of her quotes was, "Be who God meant for you to be, and mm-hmm. you'll set the world on fire."
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
beautiful!
I love that quote. Pope Benedict, his quote unquote is my theme for this year, which is, the world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness.
Yes.
And I keep those two quotes like with me all the time when I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is hard. Yep. And then I keep reminding myself that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I need to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. If I can't do it for me, I got to do it for somebody else.
Yep.
So is there a saint that you turn to, especially when it comes to tough topics like mm-hmm. human trafficking sure. or homelessness or...
Sure.
Is there anybody that you kind of lean on?
Sure. I have to give a shout out to my friend, St. Anthony. He's been with me since I was a child, developed a wonderful relationship with him over the years. And I talk to Anthony constantly. I mean, constantly talk to Anthony. It used to be just before I would do a big presentation or a big speech, I would pray to him. But now it's even in conversations with people, I'll just reach out to him and We've spoken so many times, but I'll just say, you know, I don't know what to say. Now, you know that. So I'm here. If you could just say a little prayer of intercession for me and give me the words. I'm here. If you could do the rest, I'd really appreciate you doing a solid for me. And I say that somewhat jokingly, but with absolute sincerity. I pray to St. Anthony all the time for the words, for the guidance. He was gifted in proclaiming the word of God. So I always ask him to intercede on my behalf so that I can say the right things, not for me, but for what God wants me to say in that moment, to touch the souls around me the way God wants them to be touched. It really has nothing to do with me. Shouldn't have anything to do with me. It's whatever God wants. And I'm literally just a guy standing there. So, but that's all part of it. And that sort of flows into who I often pray to a lot. I'm a Benedictine oblate. So
what is that, if you don't mind me asking?
No, so St. Benedict. St. Benedict wrote the rule. He's famous for writing the rule, which is basically the rule that Western monasticism has followed for centuries. And I read from that rule every day. My arch abbey is out of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And it's an absolutely beautiful community. But one of the things that we study and we emphasize is humility, work in obedience, certainly. But through that comes humility. And it's that humility, that the 12 steps of humility, that it's so easy to read through the rule about what they are. It's so difficult sometimes to follow them, just because it's a total emptying of yourself to the will of God, number one. But it's also celebrating the fact when those struggles find you, when they overcome you. You know, Jesus was perfect in every single way. And my God, look what we did to him. Mm. So how could I possibly complain when the world is nasty or unfair to me? I mean, I deserve it. I am no saint by any stretch of the imagination. So I really have no reason to complain if something isn't fair or somebody treats me poorly or anything. I always think back to humility and think back to what Jesus did, and he did that for me. And my God, the way he responded was absolute love. So how could I try to respond with anything but absolute love? But that really does sort of influence, I think, when I think of all the social issues, the poor, the homeless, the people who are struggling, those who are just trying to figure out their way through life or struggling even in their faith journey about what it means. They may not be in full communion with the church, but you can see them struggling because they want to be. They're just not quite sure, you know, and they're struggling through those issues. And it's easy just to scold. It's easy to tell them that they're wrong. It's, you know, it's easy to snap at them, but it's more difficult to guide them with love. And I hope that that's what I always do. I know that's what the bishops always want us to do. Certainly in Harrisburg, when we're bringing lawmakers and policymakers and staffers to try to meet them where they are and then love them into our way of thinking.
Dorothy Day had once said, everybody wants a revolution, but nobody wants to do the dishes.
Right.
So what can the average person who is not in a position such as yourself, or maybe we feel like we're just like a needle in a haystack, mm-hmm. what is something that we can do? You know, obviously there's writing or emailing or calling your lawmaker.
Sure.
But sometimes I personally feel like it just kind of goes into the abyss. Mm-hmm. And I'm like one of those people who like, I need to have control and like physically do something.
Yep.
So what do you recommend in instances like that?
So it's funny you would say that you want to go and you wouldn't do. I've been described by many as a fixer.
Yes.
I think is the way folks classify me on whatever scale they, you know, you take the little test kind of thing. And I'm a very competitive person to boot. So I like to see action and I like to see a result quickly. And in my line of work, you do not often see quick results.
Yeah.
And even when we see results, we don't even always know if they work. You know, we pass some legislation trying to help the problem, but sometimes you just don't always know for a while, you know, boots on the ground, how it impacted. But it doesn't mean that we can stop or we should stop. Yes, you should. And I will sing the song until my last day. Find your local legislator, he or she, at the most local of levels up to the state and the federal level. Try to develop a personal relationship with them as much as you can. Meet with them in their district office. Have conversations with them. Tell them what's important to you, how your faith inspires you on different issues. Do not argue with them because that doesn't do anything. You don't make friends by arguing with people. Mm-hmm. You make friends by engaging them in conversation. Don't talk at them. Listen to them. And then hopefully they can listen to you. In our society, we talk past one another. You know, as the other person is responding, we're formulating our counter argument and we're not really listening to what they're saying. And in listening to the other, even when you're listening to something you don't agree with, it helps to give you the clues about what they're thinking and why they're thinking. So you can try to get to the bottom of it. But it's not just our legislators and our policymakers. Talk to the people around you. I think that's what social justice really is. It's meeting those people where they are, helping the people at the soup kitchens, at the food pantries, helping those people in church that you see that are sitting alone, right? That really don't have anybody with them. I'm blessed to attend an urban church and at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and sometimes we'll get the unhoused that'll come into the cathedral, and you know, they're falling asleep on the pews before Mass. And you know, it's easy to walk in and say, "How dare they sleep in a church? That is so disrespectful." But that's not what Christ would say, mm-hmm. right? Offer to you know, say, do you want to come down and have a cup of coffee with me after Mass? Do you want to grab a donut with me, you know, after Mass? You know, try to engage them. Let them know that they're loved. So that's social justice starts with the person right in front of you.
Oh, I love that, because we always think that has to be this big grand gesture, and really it's just something small and actionable. And I mean, we could always just turn to the person next to us, but how often are we just stuck in tunnel right. vision mode?
Yeah, my job is not to save the world. My job is to spread seeds. I try to spread as many of them as possible for the bishops and for God, but my job's not to save the world. I'm not that important. God will save the world. And as one of our bishops said to me, when I first interviewed for the job, I've told this story many times. He said, you know, that he had read the good book cover to cover, and evidently we win in the end. So, it's just how we play the game. It's just how we spread those seeds, and we do it with patience and love all the time. That's what social justice is. It's the person in front of you. It's the server at the table that comes up and is waiting on you while you're eating and drinking. It's easy to ignore them, engage them in conversation. You know, they're just trying to make a paycheck like everybody else. Treat them like a person. Treat everybody like a person. You know, I always try to make it so that before I leave whatever the encounter is, I can bring a smile to somebody's face. If it's self-deprecating, it's self-deprecating. If it's something else, it's fine.
Disarming with humor is totally fine.
Why not? Even if they walk away going, "Man, what an idiot." You know, that's fine. But yeah, you know, it's tough out there. We all got to stick together. And, you know, as Catholics, if we can do that to help one another, that's great. Especially those who do not like us. You know, that sort of takes it up a notch. It's easy to love your friends. It's easy to love your family. Well, most of the time it's easy to love you. Just kidding. But it's the people that hate us. That's the tougher one. But we're still supposed to reach out to them.
So how do you, like, obviously this takes a lot of energy and oomph. And sometimes it feels like we're just pushing that rock up the hill constantly.
Yep.
How do you have the energy, and how do you have to continue pushing forward, to continue pushing that rock? What do you kind of do to reignite that flame?
I stopped trying to do it all on my own. Yeah, I've always been faithful. I was raised in the faith, but it wasn't until early in my career that I finally gave up on trying to do it all on my own. And it wasn't because I wasn't doing well in my career. I just thought that there was, I don't know, something missing. And the closer I got to my faith, the closer those relationships really caught on fire with God and the saints. And as I got to know Mary more, I just stopped trying to do it all on my own. And I just started praying to do whatever he wanted me to do whenever he wanted me to do it. And when I surrendered that, everything got easier. I'm not going to say that the problems got any easier, because they didn't. I'm not going to say that, you know, what I confront on a day-to-day basis is any less taxing, because it's not. But it's easier because it's all up to him. You know, I just try to put myself wherever he wants me and be there to say whatever he wants me to say. Now, it doesn't mean I just blindly go around either. I mean, I read a lot. I research a lot. I pray a lot. I try to read, you know, all the good spiritual works that I can. But if you're going to say, what is my energy boost? What's my boost up? It's adoration, hands down. Absolutely no question about it. I go to adoration every week. It is the one thing I look forward to every week. I may have mentioned on the show before, but I have a very early morning time slot when I go to adoration. And selfishly, it's because I'm usually there by myself and I like it that way. I know it sounds kind of silly, but it feels like I kind of have them to myself. So I often talk out loud and lament out loud sometimes, but it's where he gives me the comfort. It's where he gives me the answers. It's where he gives me the direction. He does it throughout the week, but really in adoration is the time that I feel like I've just come home from college and I'm sitting on my parents' couch talking about what I've been doing, you know, and they're giving me advice. It may sound weird, but that's kind of what
it's
like. No, that's
a really good metaphor.
In adoration. I honestly don't think I could do my job. Well, I know I couldn't do my job without it. So,
I love that.
And that's what social justice and social teaching tells us. We can never be lackadaisical in what we do. We can never give up. That's just not an option for us. We have to continue to try. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to engage. It's just, there's too much at stake.
I love everything about what you just said. We have to remind ourselves that this is not new. We can always overcome it. And like you said, we all win in the end.
Yeah. We all win in the end.
Yeah. Well, Eric, thank you so much for sharing this. I do feel like having talked to you, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Let's go to war. We're going to do this. But I really appreciate you expanding on social justice for us. And thank you for fighting the good fight and taking these issues up to where they need to be. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Well, you too. God bless you and everybody else.
Thanks. And that's our show. Candid Catholic Convos is brought to you by the Diocese of Harrisburg, hosted and sound engineered by me, Rachel Trochet, and produced by Rachel Bryson. If today's episode resonated with you, please share it on social media. You can tag us using @HBGDiocese. Make sure you also subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to support our production efforts, a donation to our diocesan annual campaign would benefit us greatly in continuing our ministry. Next week, we'll discuss the intersection of faith and science with a local Catholic and environmental advocate about Laudato Si and community initiatives near you. So like, subscribe, keep praying for us, and we'll keep praying for you.
Something new is coming to the Diocese of Harrisburg. Because our journey to Christ as a family of faith is too important to leave to chance. Hi, I'm Melissa Molesky, Director for Laity and Family for the Diocese of Harrisburg, and I'd like to invite you to join us on October 18th for Behold, a conference for the family of God. Behold is the first intergenerational event where every member of our diocesan community, whether you are 8 or 80, single or married, new to faith, or deeply rooted in our Catholic tradition, will be engaged, challenged, and equipped together. This isn't just another conference. It's an opportunity to bring families, friends, and pew neighbors together intentionally, creating the connections we all need to thrive spiritually. Connections that last far beyond a single day. Nowhere else will you see grandparents and grandchildren be able to compare notes on what they learned about this year's theme of God's goodness. Nowhere else will you see parishioners meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Nowhere else will you see whole families engage in a formation experience that doesn't require a babysitter. Real formation, real witness, real connection, happening across generations simultaneously. The question isn't whether you have time for this. It's whether you can afford to miss the opportunity to see your family and your friends group grow in faith together. Behold is more than a conference. It's a call to behold God's goodness in one another. And we cannot wait to welcome you.
Join us for Behold, October 18th at Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Harrisburg. For more information, visit hbgdiocese.org/behold.